Ask you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word, if you would, please. We'll be reading all of the first 8 verses of Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. And the title of the message is the same as the theme for this year, 2013, Directing Our Ways to Keep God's Word. Psalm 119, beginning in verse number 1, Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll continue with the message then here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would direct us through the message this morning as we begin this series of messages wherein You have directed us to about 20 different truths that need to be considered. But Lord, as we just start with the first handful of them, I pray that You would open our eyes to the importance of keeping Your Word, of walking in obedience to Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Four times in the first 8 verses, or the first 8 verse section of Psalm 119, the word keep is employed with regard to keeping God's Holy Word. For the first time, you see it in verse number 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies. You see it again in verse number 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. You see it again in verse number 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. And you see it again in verse number 8. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. In fact, throughout all of Psalm 119, wherein there is 176 verses, throughout the entire psalm, the words keep and kept are employed 29 times in 29 different verses. This is, in fact, almost 1/5 of the verses of the psalm deal directly with the idea of keeping God's Word. And that, in fact, does not include all of the added various references to walking in obedience to God's Word. That just includes the verses that actually use the word keep or kept with regard to the Word of God. However, there are also the verses that talk about running in the way of God's Word, walking in the way of God's Word, choosing the way of God's Word. You find one of them in verse number 1 of Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. You find it again in verse number 3. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. And throughout the psalm there are also then those references to walking in the way of God's Word. The fact is, no doubt about it, certainly it is so, that one of the primary themes of Psalm 119 is this need to direct our ways to keep, to obey, to walk in obedience to God's Holy Word. In fact, within the opening section of this psalm, in verse number 5, the psalmist then exclaims so passionately, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes." As we go throughout Psalm 119 in this study, we're going to be answering the question, what do we learn from this psalm concerning this matter of directing our ways to keep God's Word? There are, in fact, 20 different truths. And I intend to get them all in this morning. And everyone that's been here for any length of time knows that is not true. Well, it's certainly not true that I'll get them all in this morning, and it's very unlikely that it's even my intention. It is my intention to touch on the first 4 of 20, Mark was talking to me just the other day, and I said, I'm not sure I'm going to get my message done. Mark, are you ready? He said, well, I've got a 10-point message I can give to you to preach. And he said, and Pastor, the way that you preach, that should be 4 weeks right there. 3 one Sunday, 3 one Sunday, 2 and 2. And if I really broke it up 2 on every Sunday, that'd be 5 right there. So just imagine how long we can be at this for 20 different truths. Amen. We've got a ways to go. Let's begin with the first one, because as I say, when I sand drywall, and in 2 years' time, I've not had a drywall job to do until tomorrow. But as I will be saying, and Mark likely will be working with me when we get there, Mark likes to ask me Bible questions to get me off track, because he knows that I cannot work and talk at the same time. But he also knows that he gets paid by the hour. So while I'm talking, but there's no working going on, he's still getting paid. Boy, does he enjoy that. But at some point, I will stop the conversation and I will say, you know, we need to get started, because we'll never get done if we never get started. Amen? So let's get started here this morning. Number one, keeping God's Word is the prerequisite for the Lord's blessing. Keeping God's Word is the prerequisite for the Lord's blessing. In verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 119, this psalm opens with the pronouncement of blessings, saying, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Brethren, I present to you this morning that if we want the Lord's hand of blessing to be opened toward our lives, then we must keep His Word with faithful obedience. We must. How many of you here this morning came to church saying, you know what I'd really like? Starting today, I would really, really like to have God's curse upon my life. No one? How many of you this morning got up, and as you were coming to church, you were thinking about meeting with God and hearing the Word of God preached and so on, and you thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if for the rest of my life I could have God's hand of judgment heavy upon me? No, you wouldn't want God's hand of judgment upon you. You wouldn't want God's curse upon you. How many of you, rather than God's curse and God's judgment, would rather have God's blessing upon you? Amen? How many would rather have God's hand of blessing open towards you and pouring out His blessings from heaven upon your life? Certainly we would rather that. But you see, in order to have that, you must meet the requirement. And the prerequisite for the Lord's blessing is just this: you must keep His Word. You must walk in obedience to His Word. Psalm 1 very clearly pronounces this restriction when it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2 adds to that, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. See, we must walk in obedience to the law of God. We must walk in obedience to the rules and regulations, to the commands and counsels, to the precepts and principles, to the standards and statutes, to the reproofs and rebukes, to the confrontations and corrections, to the wisdom and warnings of God's holy Word, if we want His blessing on our life. But if we do not obey, if we do not walk in obedience, if we do not keep the Word of God through obedience, then there's no blessing for us. You see, our Lord's hand of blessing is not promised for those who walk in disobedience to His Word. Rather, throughout the Word of God, the Lord's judgment is poured out upon those who walk in disobedience to His Word. And the Lord's blessing is promised for those who walk in obedience to His Word. Even so, Psalm 25 and verse number 10 gives the promise, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. Again, Psalm 128 and verse 1 gives the promise, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. Indeed, in Luke 11, verse number 28, our Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed unto the multitude, a woman came along and said, "Blessed is the woman that bore thee." Jesus Christ responded there in front of the multitudes to that woman and said, "No, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Notice it's not just hearing the word, but keeping the word that brings God's blessing upon your life. Indeed, we've been in James chapter 1 for a period of time now, verses 19 through 25, and we just recently completed a few messages out of verse 25, but there in James 1 verse 25, God's word proclaims unto us believers, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." There's no doubt that God is a God of blessing. He is a God who desires to bless His people. But there's also no doubt in the Word of God that God's blessing is only for the obedient ones amongst His people. Now, God may be merciful to the just and to the unjust. And God may demonstrate mercy to the good and to the evil, for it may indeed rain upon the just and the unjust. But God's true and full open hand of blessing is only for those who walk in obedience to Him. What does it mean to walk in obedience? Well, we're going to be returning here this evening to our series of messages on Thou Shalt Do These Things that we started a good 4 years ago. Actually, the last message I preached on it was a full year and a half ago. So, you know, you've had quite a good break from it. We'll be returning back to it here this evening. But the fact is, we were just going through the New Testament, not verse by verse, but going through the New Testament command by command to consider all that God requires of us in order that we should obey Him. And there is much that He requires. You realize God has much command upon us concerning our thoughts and concerning our attitudes and concerning our feelings and concerning our motivations and concerning our plans and concerning our priorities of life. God has much command that He sets upon us concerning the way that we speak and the way that we ought not speak. The Lord our God has much command upon us concerning the way that we interact with one another as fellow believers, and the way that we interact with the lost world around us, and the way that we interact with our neighbor, and the way that we interact with our friends, and the way that we interact with our family, and even the way that we interact with our enemies. God has command about this. God has many commands in the Word of God concerning how we are to faithfully involve ourselves in the work and ministry of the Lord. God has much command concerning our witness and testimony before the Lord, before the world. God has much command that He sets upon our life concerning simply how we behave ourselves from day to day. God has commands in the Word of God concerning how we're to be diligent in our business, and how we're to be workers on the job, and how we're to be students in the classroom, and how we are to be children toward our parents, and parents in raising up the children, and how husbands and wives should treat one another. God's Word has much to say about these things. But I say to you this morning that we must keep God's Word with obedience if we want God's blessing on our life. But there's a number two here. Keeping God's Word is the prerequisite for the Lord's blessing, but keeping God's Word is also the Lord's plan for our daily lives. That is His plan for our lives. That is His plan for our daily lives. That is His plan that we should engage in diligently in our daily lives. In Psalm 119 and verse number 4, the psalmist gave the report, "Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently." You see, brethren, this is the desire of our Lord for our character and for our conduct, that we would obey Him, that we would keep His Word. In Deuteronomy 5 verse 29, He proclaimed, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. You see, God sits in heaven, and as He sits upon the throne in heaven there, and He looks down upon His children here upon the earth, He says, oh, that they would not just only obey me, but oh, that they would have a heart of obedience. And you notice He says at the end of that, oh, that they would have a heart to obey me so that I could bless them. But that is God's desire for our life. This matter of keeping His Word, this matter of obedience, of walking in obedience to His Word. You see, this is the very reason that our Lord gave us His Word. The very reason He gave it to us. In Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29, God's Word declares, the secret things that are the things not in the Word of God, the things that are not revealed by God to us, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. They do not belong to us. You can ask all of the theoretical questions you want, but if God didn't reveal the answer really doesn't belong to you. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. Ah, the things that God has revealed in the Word of God, they literally belong to us. And they belong to our children. And every time I read that verse, I think this matter, and there probably will one day be a message out of it. But the fact is, if they not only belong to us, but they also belong to our children, then we as parents have a responsibility to teach them to our children, because if we don't, we're stealing something from our children that belongs to them. Doesn't the Bible say it belongs to them as well as it belongs to us? Certainly. We have the responsibility to teach it diligently, Deuteronomy chapter 6, unto our children, because it belongs to them, not just to us. We have a stewardship as parents in that. But I want you to see why it belongs to us and to our children. The things which are revealed in the Word of God in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 says, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. It's the whole reason God gave us His Word, is so that we would obey it. This is the whole spiritual duty of our lives upon this earth. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, God's Word declares, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. God can take the entire duty of mankind, our entire responsibility before God, and He can boil it down to two statements. Fear Him, keep His commandments. This is, in fact, the very means by which we demonstrate our love for the Lord our God. See, some might have thought, well, the whole duty of man could be boiled down into two statements. That would be the two great commandments, right? Love God and love your brother as yourself. Well, let me tell you this. If you fear God in a biblical way, you'll love Him. And if you obey God in a biblical way, you not only love Him, but you'll love your brother as yourself as well. So in reality, it's two ways of saying the same thing. But indeed, keeping His commandments is the way that we demonstrate our love for the Lord. In Deuteronomy 11, in verse number 1, God's Word declares, therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments always. In John 14, verse 21, our Lord Jesus Christ revealed the truth, saying, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Let me just illustrate that point for a moment, if I may. We could be illustrating all of these points in a similar way. We could be talking about those that hear and obey. God's blessing is on them. We could talk about those that hear and obey, and those are the ones that are following the Word of God as they ought. But on this one in particular, I want you to visualize the truth. And so I'll ask for two young men to come up here, if I may. I'll ask for Noah to come up and Patrick to come up. I would have Wesley, but he's hiding behind Grandpa. He likes to do that so he doesn't get used like this. You know, I used you guys last time, didn't I? Did I use you two last time? Did I? I used a bunch of you, a whole bunch of you last time. But you know how long it's been since I've used Joshua and Jared? You think maybe Joshua and Jared should come up here instead? What do you think? What's your vote? Yes or no? Do you vote no or yes? You vote no? What do you vote?
I don't care.
So one no, one abstain. You guys got out of it. Look at that. Next time, however, I will have been prayed up on it to see what God thinks. And we'll see what he says. Okay? No. Amen. All right. But the fact of the matter is, we read this passage of Scripture here out of John chapter 14. I want you to consider what the Word of God says. Patrick, since you're my son, I'll make you the bad guy, because then I can discipline you later for it. Stand over there, if you would, please. All right. And Noah, if you'd stand over there. Now, Patrick's side is the side in which he does not obey the Word of God. He does not. Patrick doesn't obey the Word of God. He may hear it. He may have memorized it. He probably can quote a bunch of verses, but he simply doesn't obey it. Noah, on the other hand, he's growing in his understanding of the Word of God, but as he learns it, he begins to put it into practice in his life. He begins to grow not only in understanding, but he begins to grow in obedience as well. Now I want you to understand what Jesus was saying here in John 14, verse 21. He said, "He that hath my commandments," do they both have the commandments of God? Yeah, they both have them. "And keepeth it." Keepeth them. Which one is in that category? They both have them, but which one is keeping them? Patrick? No, he's disobeying. Noah? Ah, he is obeying the Word of God. All right? Now, he that has and keeps the Word of God, this is what God says about that individual. "He it is that loveth me." So now, I want you to be straightforward with me now, because I want you to think about this. Patrick has the Word, but he's not obeying. Noah has the Word, and he's continuing to pursue obedience. The more he learns, the more he grows in obedience, because he continually pursues obedience. Of these two young men, regardless of what they may say, regardless of how nice they may look in their suits and their ties, which one of them actually loves God? Which one of them actually loves God? Patrick says, "Oh, I love God. I just, you know, don't do that, and I don't do this, and I do that, and I don't, you know, I disobey here and I disobey there." Is Patrick telling me the truth when he says he loves God? No, he's not. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, "The one that loves me is the one that has my word and keeps them." If he's not obeying the word, then he doesn't love God. Plain and simple. It's that equivalent. Noah, on the other hand, he has the Word, and he's studying the Word, and as he studies and learns the Word, he pursues obedience to the Word of God. He may not be perfect at it. In fact, I know he's not perfect. I know Noah. He's not perfect at it, but that's his pursuit. That is his goal in life, his purpose in life. He's pursuing obedience to the Word of God. Does he love the Lord? Amen. That's what it would mean. He loves the Lord. But there's a little bit more in the verse. In John 14, verse 21, not only does it tell us that because he obeys his commandments, that he actually loves God, that's his character, he really does love the Lord, but then the verse says, "And he that loveth me," that would be the one who obeys is the one who loves, "and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Now there are stages of the Lord's love. There are. There is the love that God has had to the entire world. That love was displayed on Calvary, where Jesus Christ died on the cross for all sinners. Sinners did not love Him, but He loved them anyway, and He died for them. Amen? There's another level of love with God. That is love for His family. Family love. There's universal love, is love for all sinners. The cross displayed that love. There's also family love. Family love is not to every human being. Family love from God is only to those that He brings into His family through faith in Jesus Christ. It is only for those who trust Christ as Savior. And those who trust Christ as Savior from their sin, They are the ones that are entered into the family of God. They are born again by the power of God. They are adopted by God, and they are treated as family. They have an eternal home in heaven, and all that is involved in that, that is the family love of God. But there is a third category of love with God. It is fellowship love. Fellowship love. Let's suppose here this morning that all of you are lost, and only Patrick and Noah are saved. God has the universal love to you all. But He does not have family love or fellowship love with you because you are lost. You're not saved. Patrick, Wesley, they're both saved. Patrick and Noah, they're both saved. God has family love to both of them because they're both part of His family. They're both His children. Now, I can tell you this. When God has family love to you as one of His children and you're being disobedient, He demonstrates family love by bending you over and spanking you real hard. But it's still part of family love because He does not chasten the lost. He chastens His own children. But up here, we've already described these two saved individuals. Patrick is a child of God, so he has family love. And Noah's a child of God. He has family love. But Patrick is a disobedient child. He does not have fellowship love from God. The universal love is for all of us, lost and saved. But those who trusted Christ, in this case, Patrick and Noah, they're now part of the family of God. The family love of God is toward them. But Patrick's a disobedient child. He is not walking in fellowship with God, nor is God walking in fellowship with him. And that's why God's blessing is not upon his life. He has family love, but not fellowship love. Noah, on the other hand, is a child of God. He has family love, but he's also pursuing obedience. He's demonstrating his love toward God by pursuing that obedience. God is then bestowing fellowship upon him. He has also fellowship love from God. You can have a seat, fellows. Thank you. In John chapter 14, verse 21, that's what Jesus Christ is talking about. He's talking about fellowship love when he says, "And he that loveth me," how do we love him? By keeping his commandments. "He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father with fellowship love. And I will love him with fellowship love." How do I know it's fellowship love? Because of this. "And will manifest myself to him." Look at verse number 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." That's about walking in fellowship. This is about fellowship love. And I tell you, if you want the fellowship love of God, then you have to fulfill His plan for your daily living. And His plan for your daily living is that you walk in obedience to His Word, that you keep His Word with obedience, but not just with simple obedience, rather with diligent obedience. It's not our Lord's plan for our daily lives that we just keep His Word, but that we keep His Word diligently, going back to Psalm 119 and verse number 4, the psalmist there proclaimed or gave the report, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." It's our Lord's plan for our daily lives that we keep His Word with all our heart and with all our soul. It's our Lord's plan for our daily lives that we keep His Word with focus and with faithfulness. It is our Lord's plan for our daily lives that we keep His Word with all commitment of heart and with all consistency of life, that we do so diligently, with a diligence of priority and with a diligence of pursuit. We're to keep His Word diligently. Thus we find that keeping God's Word is the prerequisite for the Lord's blessing. And keeping God's Word is the Lord's plan for our daily lives. But number three, we find that keeping God's Word should be the passion of our hearts. It should be the passion of our hearts. If we want the Lord's blessing, we must keep His word. Should it not then be the passion of our hearts? The Lord's plan for our lives, the one who saved us, the one who died on the cross to save us from our sins, His plan, His purpose for our life is that we keep His word. Should it not then also be the passion of our hearts? The way that we demonstrate love to the Lord our God is by keeping His word. And should it not then be the passion of our hearts? In Psalm 19, verse 5, the psalmist expressed this passion of his own heart before the Lord God, saying, Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Indeed, this passion filled the psalmist's heart from moment to moment to have his daily walk and his daily ways directed in obedience to God's word. Like manner, brethren, I present to you that we should possess the same passion of heart. We should be passionately dedicated to keep God's word. And we should passionately submit ourselves under the direction of the Holy Spirit for that very purpose. You know, a lot of times individuals talk about wanting to be filled with the Spirit and wanting to experience the reviving power of the Spirit of God. But I fear that many times what we really want when we talk about being filled with the Spirit and the reviving power of the Spirit of God, we want to be empowered so that we can accomplish great things for our own glory. That's not why we should seek for the direction and empowerment of the Spirit of God. The primary motive for which we should seek to be filled with the Spirit is that He might empower us and direct us to obey God. Whether we ever do great things that people will notice or not. Listen, walking in obedience to God is a great thing with God. Amen? It may not be a great thing in the sight of man. And you may walk in obedience and pursue obedience for your entire life, and very few may ever know your name or may ever know the things that you have done for the Lord. But walking in obedience to the Lord your God is a great thing in the sight of God. And therefore we should seek for the Spirit of God's power that we might do the great thing of obedience. That needs to be our objective, that I may obey Him. If obedience to Him allows me to accomplish something that even the world notices as a great thing, then praise the Lord and give all glory to Him. But obeying Him should be the motive for us being filled with the Spirit, for us walking in and after the direction of the Spirit of God. Indeed, we must passionately decide to deny ourselves and our selfish purposes for life, even as our Lord instructed in Luke 9 and verse 23. We must passionately decide to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord our God, even as we are instructed in Romans 12 and verse 2. We must passionately desire for our Lord to create in us a clean heart and to renew in us a right spirit, even as David did in Psalm 51 and verse 10. We must passionately desire for our Lord to incline our hearts away from sin and unto obedience, even as the psalmist did in Psalm 19 verse 10 and verse 36. We must passionately dedicate ourselves to walk after the righteous and holy influence of the indwelling Holy Spirit, even as we are instructed in Galatians 5:16 and Ephesians 5:18. And finally, we must passionately dedicate ourselves to run in the way of God's Word, even as the psalmist did in Psalm 119, verse 32. You see, keeping God's Word daily with faithful obedience must become the driving passion of our hearts and of our lives. Finally, here this morning, keeping God's Word should be the practice of our daily living. Keeping God's Word is the prerequisite for the Lord's blessing. Keeping God's Word is the Lord's plan for our daily lives. Keeping God's Word should be the passion of our hearts. And keeping God's Word should be the practice of our daily living. In Psalm 19, in verse number 8, the psalmist expressed the commitment of his own heart unto the Lord, saying, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. There he made that commitment at the beginning of the psalm, and he said, I will. Near the end of the psalm, in Psalm 19, verse 168, he expressed the commitment of his heart yet again unto the Lord, saying, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. At the beginning of the psalm, I will. At the end of the psalm, I have. And he might have added, and I will continue. It was not just the passion of his heart. It was the practice of his life. You see, brethren, the psalmist's passion of heart was not simply a passion that he felt, not simply a passion about which he spoke. The passion of the psalmist's heart was a passion that he lived out in the practice of his daily living. All the ways of his daily practice were set before and surrendered to the Lord his God. The psalmist acknowledged the Lord in all his ways and then obeyed the Lord's word in all his practice. And I say to you as we come to a close this morning, in like manner, we must also fulfill the passion for obedience to God's word with a faithful practice of God's word. The passion is just words. The passion is just a feeling until it is literally carried out in practice. And you know, as the saying goes, talk is cheap. Just because you feel passionate about obedience doesn't really mean a whole lot. Oh, it may be the beginning. There does need to be a passion for obedience. Just because you talk about obedience doesn't mean a whole lot. Oh, there needs to be a communication of God's word one to another in order to exhort and edify one another, no doubt. And that about which we are passionate is that which will govern the way that we speak. I do not find when I speak to Miss Angela Rick that she talks about professional football much at all, because she has no passion for it. But I can tell you this, she can bore you to death talking about professional baseball. Amen? Because she's passionate about it. Well, if you're passionate about professional baseball, then you ought to set up a club with her. You can all get together. Just don't include me in the club. Amen? My club is professional football. Actually, I'm passionate about American soccer. Not so much the internal league, but World Cup's coming. America doesn't usually get very far. But I'm praying that each new time it comes, every 4 years, they get a little further. One of these days, they're going to actually make it to the cup game. The rest of you are all going, are you kidding me? Have you ever watched soccer? It's boring. They play 90 minutes per half. And maybe after an entire game is over, two halves, 90 minutes each, 180 minutes of 1-0. Are you kidding me? But see, the thing you're passionate about tends to be the thing you'll talk much about. Right? You ever get around a farmer? Farmers don't usually talk about mechanics. They don't talk about... Some of them do, though. They got to fix the engines there. But you get around a farmer, man alive, a farmer can talk about farming. Why? They're passionate about it. You ever get around a preacher? Do preachers know how to talk? What do they know how to talk about? Well, one thing they know how to talk about, they know how to talk about God's word. Amen? See, something you're passionate about will affect what you talk about, no doubt. But if it doesn't go any further than your feeling and your talk, it's not enough. It needs to become a feeling and a talk that becomes practice. Amen? It needs to be the practice of our daily living. Yes, it's the prerequisite to the Lord's blessing. And yes, it is the Lord's plan for our lives. Now, what are we going to do with it? Is it going to become our passion? Is it going to become our practice? Keep God's Word. Amen? The theme for this year, as we continue on in this series of messages and into the year 2013, directing our ways to keep God's Word. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the message of Your Word, and I pray that You will continue to direct us and as even Psalm 19 says, enlarge our heart for a greater passion for obedience. As we go through this study and as we continue throughout this year for You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.